Good evening. Welcome to West End Church of Christ. Tonight we are studying in our auditorium class from the book on zeal. Then we will be studying from chapter 7, and that chapter is called Ignite, Getting Closer Through Christ. So I want to welcome you this evening. There we go. Those of you in the congregation, if you need a book, please let us know. And those of you who have a book, please prepare for each class by reading each lesson. And for those of you maybe joining us for the first time, I use New King James Version. This is a key verse that I've been talking about. It's from Paul in the book of Acts. And he's stating, therefore I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. And he's talking about taking the word of God and evangelizing and teaching others. So tonight we're going to talk about getting closer through Christ. At the top of your textbook, there on page 33 is a verse. And that verse says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, measurements there, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So Jesus is active on earth. We know that. He's very active. He's active with everybody. And the apostles were active in taking God's word out as well. And the early Christians were very active. And not only just taking God's word out, but living a life that reflected glory to God, that said, I am a Christian, glory to God. And that's what we're looking at tonight, igniting through Christ. Now, the word Christian, of course, is a noun. And it's also used as an adjective. But tonight, I want to think about it as a verb. I don't mean we're going to start using it in our language as a verb. That's not what I mean. I want to think of it, in a sense, as a verb. A verb shows action, right? And that's what we're talking about. A verb shows action. And we're showing action in our lives, reflecting glory to God. And that's what I mean by verb. And as a Christian, we're taking action to show glory to God and for people to see that and glorify God. And that's what I mean by verb in that sense. You may remember, those of you old enough, the Schoolhouse Rock and the one about the verb, and the guy had a super outfit on and had the cape and everything. He was a verb. He does action. Think about that in that kind of sense, that we're taking God's word and not just holding it up and saying, I have the oracles of God, but we're living it through love, love for other people and bringing the word of God to others. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Taking action, all right? Now, Jesus declares that he and the Father are one. Now, we know that in being, that they are. In John 10:30, he says that. And that's certainly true. But he's not only saying that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are God, but he's also talking about the three are one in purpose. And that's one thing I want to think about tonight. The verse that you see before you, and that verse is from 1 John 5:7-13, but there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. So we know that God is one being, three parts. And there's three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree as one. So we're seeing that they were one in purpose. And that's what we need to be, is one in purpose, glorifying God, drawing near through Jesus Christ to God and bringing glory to him. And so, in verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Continue to believe. That's action. That's a verb. We continue to believe. We go forth, not only just holding the oracles of God. Because the Pharisees did that in their time. They held on to the old law and did that. But they didn't have love. They were empty-hearted in that sense. We want to be full of love, bringing the Word of God to others, showing them love. These three were not only one in being, but one in purpose. When we follow God's Word and keep His commandments through love, we see God in us and we are His. We belong to Him. We are His servant. Jesus was sent by the Father, John 8:42. We're sent by God to teach the Word and bring others to Christ. We do that through love and perseverance. Perseverance is an act of love itself. And we do that. We're not holding up the oracles and saying, hey, I got the oracles of God and I'm holding on to them and I'm the one. We're giving them to people who love and helping them come to Jesus Christ because we want people to be saved. Jesus could do the works of the Father, even on the Sabbath. We can do the works of the Father by teaching and living in Christ all the time, not just when we meet at church on Wednesdays and Sundays. And that's what we're talking about tonight, igniting on Christ, igniting in Christ, through Christ, excuse me. The Pharisees wanted to execute Jesus for his assertions. Remember, doctrinally they were correct in that time, but their hearts were wrong. And that's what we want to look at tonight. Yes, we have doctrine, and we need to hold to it tight and study it and grow in it. We need to have love for others, that we show that love and that joy we have in God to others. Where does our hearts lie? Do we hold the Bible and claim to hold these oracles of God, this Bible, and not talk to others? And in that, I look inward at myself. I'm not talking to you tonight in this sense, I'm talking about myself. I've examined myself tonight, and I'm looking at these things. You know, we have this QR code, and if you've never been here at West End, you're watching online, it comes on the board where you come in and take a picture of it, and you can fill out an attendance as a visitor. And it's a wonderful thing. Greatly love it. But it doesn't replace me standing in the lobby welcoming people. It's not meant to replace me doing that. That's not the intention of it. It's for people who didn't get a chance to fill out a visitor's card. They come in and they want to leave a record and they can do that. But it doesn't replace the job I'm supposed to do, that L.R. Kennan is supposed to do in greeting people. When's the last time I greeted? When's the last time I stood out there and greeted somebody? Truthfully, it's been a long time. Sometimes I come in and I sit down and wait for service to start. That's not the object of love. I need to be greeting people. I need to be coming in, welcoming them here, and fill out a visitor's card. And if they want to do the QR code, then they can do that too. And taking the gospel out to others. We have teenagers here. We're blessed with them. How many of these teenagers know me by name? How many do I know by name? How many am I encouraging in the gospel? Be honest with you, I haven't been doing a very good job of that. These beautiful young children. If you've ever been to West End, and those of you that go here, we are blessed with beautiful children here, wonderful children. I am so happy to have them here. How many of them do I know by name? I ask myself that. How many do I know by name? I need to start building a friendly relationship even with small children so later on, as they get older, they feel comfortable when I talk to them about God's Word so they have a comfort level with me. That I'm not just some old man that goes to church here. I got work to do. I have work to do. When's the last time I called someone? When's the last time I wrote someone a letter of encouragement? These are things that when I do prepare this zeal course, I've been asking myself, where is my zeal? I need to be doing these things. Yes, I'm like you, I work, I get tired. I got to put out the more effort. I'm questioning myself in this. That's how I ignite through Christ, is I look at myself and say, what does God's Word say? And go and take it out there. That's what I need to do. And do it by doing deeds of love. Am I being pharisaical by saying I hold the oracles of God, God's Word, but not showing love as I should? Yes, I am doing that. A few weeks ago, Brother Brian did chapter 4, and it was a survey about zeal. And it was a score there. I'm glad I didn't teach that chapter because my score wouldn't have been near as good as Brian's. And that's true. I looked at that today and rescored myself. I have work to do. Now, I don't know about you because I'm not your judge. God is. I have work to do. I have work to do. Where have I been? I told you tonight I'm looking at myself because I know myself best. Where have I been as a Christian? Yes, I work just like you, but I still have to do these things because I love God. And I can't say I love God if I don't do things for God. The textbook asks this question, what do you hope people recognize in your daily life as proof you've been walking with Jesus? And that's a question we have. What do you hope people recognize in your daily life as proof you've been walking with Jesus? I hope they see that. I hope they do. God's grace. In your textbook, it talks about Jesus provides an epiphany. Epiphany is kind of like, Eureka, I have found it. It's that sudden revelation, that sudden thought. In Titus 2:11, let's see. Okay. All right. Somehow, some way that went through. If you can get me back to the beginning, I appreciate it. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Titus 2:11. That word appeared is from the Greek word epiphiano. And I know I'm not saying Greek correctly. Oh, thank you. All right. Give me a second to get where I, there I am. Sorry, folks. It's a sudden revelation or insight. Bam, it hits you, right? The light bulb came on. Eureka, I have found it. Paul explains this entire concept of God's grace became fully illuminated in him, as which should with us when we study God's word. It hits us, hits you like a hammer, and we realize I need to be doing these things for God. It's about God. I do everything in Christ. I go to work. I do that through Christ. I act this way to reflect glory to Christ at work and at play and at home and buying the groceries, and I do those things. God's grace is demonstrated all over the New Testament. And our textbook mentions it as seen in Jesus' miracles of healing, acts of compassion. His grace is seen in loving words and generous forgiveness, the act of sacrificing himself on the cross. Am I sharing this love? Am I sharing it? What I mean is, am I going up to people and say, hey, the Bible says don't do that? Or am I talking to them about the wonderful Savior that died for me? Which one am I doing? Yes, there is times for correction, and the Bible does give us that. But love comes first. All right? Through Jesus, his grace is permanently connected to the personal appreciation that he died to save a wretch like me. I appreciate it. I love Jesus, and I want others to know I love Jesus. He died to save a wretch like me. Our love for God should not be hindered by our worry of what people are going to think about us. If we show love, if I say amen in the service, when the preacher says a point, because I love God, I shouldn't be worried about what people think. I shouldn't be afraid to sing in the service because my voice is terrible. I shouldn't be afraid to do things out in public. I shouldn't be afraid to talk to the small children. I shouldn't be afraid to talk to teenagers. I shouldn't be afraid to talk to the person at the drive-thru at McDonald's. Those things is what I'm talking about. There's a question from our textbook. What does God mean when he says these words, prepared beforehand? God planned long ago. God planned these good deeds long ago. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. What does it mean that we should walk in them? What does it mean? Ephesians 1:4 states before the foundation of the world, God prepared these good works. He knew we needed them to grow to show love. He knew we needed to be able to do these things. That's why I mean by tonight, we are a verb as a Christian. We take action. Christians are a verb in the being of a Christian. I'm not talking grammatical sense there, I know. But I'm talking about the being of a Christian. You're a verb. You're taking action. You're doing things. And that's what it means before the foundation of the world. God planned it that way so we get a little sweat on our brow and we would do these things because we love him because he first loved us. Important reasons that there's a, excuse me, the reason this is important, there's a difference between a gift given hastily and a gift that's given with forethought. God put forethought in this gift to us. Sometimes we give hastily. Something to think about. A gift well planned is well thought. God, before the foundation of the world, had a plan of salvation for me and you. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest these last times for you. God had this plan. He wanted us to be saved. He wanted us to obey him. God expected us to do good works. We were created for good works. God created us to apply zeal in good works. Not only should I greet people before church, but I should be happy and excited to greet them before church. Not just going up saying, you want to fill out a visitor's card, but I should have zeal and excitement. We're not talking about me going out changing the world or any Christian going out shaking the world upside down. We're talking about doing what we need to do here at home first. We do what we do here at home first, and we go out and take the word to others. I should welcome people to the worship service here with zeal, is what we're talking about. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Again, that same verse beforehand. The closer we draw to him by doing good works, by reading his word, by growing in love, all while we read and study, hold on to his word. We grow in love by doing. You guys, as you grew up and you saw your mama, your daddy, tired and he was doing things for you, they did it out of love. It's the same principle. God created these good works. We do things, we do it out of love. It helps us grow our love and grow closer to him. This is what we're talking about by action, by being a verb. God's house. Jesus teaches us on eternity. This is important. Jesus teaches us what this is really about. Our lives here are short. They're a vapor. Eternity never ends. Jesus gives us tremendous insight in eternity, far more than was real in the Old Testament. He gives us the fear of hell and the hope of heaven. He gives us powerful motivators to carry for the faithful to carry forward the will of our Heavenly Father. Hell shows how terrible and futile it is to exist without the Father and how impossible it is to exist without his favor. This verse up here, Matthew 8:11-12, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast out in the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a promise of pain and suffering. In Matthew 13:37-42, he who sows the good seed of is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the Son of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. We have to sow love. We have to sow good deeds. We have to take action. We have to be a verb. We have to go forward. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them in a furnace of fire, and will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. This should scare us. But God wants us love. He's showing us here, yes, there is a consequence for not following him, for not loving, for not following his word out of heartfelt love. Heaven shows us how blessed it is to be surrounded by his love and security forever. You don't have any home break-ins in heaven. No one's going to rob you. No one's going to take from you. No one's going to commit some horrible act to you. You got God there. The relationship that we had, speaking of Adam and Eve, before the fall in the garden, where they saw God every day, face to face. You're going to be closer to God in heaven than Moses was on Mount Sinai. Matthew 13:43, but the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The book, or textbook, if you will, makes a good comparison. Some drivers avoid speeding, to avoid getting a ticket. It's not the idea of speeding is wrong. See, if I speed, I get a ticket. Some new Christians begin obeying God primarily to avoid hell. Do we see God as our get-out-of-hell-free card? Is that our motivation? Or is drawing closer in a relationship our motivation? This is what we're talking about tonight, taking action. Drawing closer in a relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ who died for us. He is the way, the truth, and the light. Some drivers value public safety. Some people are very careful drivers. I went to school with a girl. As soon as she had her license, man, she had both hands on the wheel. She was safe-minded all the time. I remember. Some new Christians look to grow in serving God because they love Him. They want to be with Him. They desire to be with Him. It's more than just simple fear of God's Word. They love God's Word. They relish in it. And they want to be with God. And that's what we're talking about. Zeal. Jesus builds zeal by promising eternity and the security of God's house. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. So, He's prepared something for us. We have to take action. In heaven, again, we're going to be closer to God than Moses was on Sinai. Think about that. That's amazing. We're going to have a relationship like Adam and Eve had before sin happened, before they fell. Be close to Him. See Him. Talk to Him. Our own Creator. The one who sent His Son. And we're going to see His Son too. It's mind-boggling to think, standing here, and you'll be talking to God someday. We should be looking forward to that day and putting aside all the worthlessness of the pleasures of this life. I'm human too. I understand. But we need to put that aside. Jesus dwelt among mankind. He understood us. The text makes a great point. No matter how hard we try to draw near to God, human beings are incapable of finishing a journey alone. God had to give us grace. We need prayer to help us to draw near to God anyway. Ultimately, access or success comes because God responds to our faith, and He draws near us. He draws near us. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We need to draw near to God, and He will respond to that. He'll draw near to us. You remember, I'm going to date myself here. If you guys ever watched the TV show Get Smart, and that was in the 60s and 70s, and Agent 99 used to say, "Missed it by that much." That was his catchphrase for that show. You may have seen it in reruns. God knows the efforts Christians are making that they're trying to draw near to Him. There's no Christian that earns their way to heaven. They try to love God's Word and do His commandments. It's God's grace that covers that. God's effort to see that, He'll recognize it. We're not going to miss it by that much if we're working out of love for God. Nothing demonstrates this point better than the coming of Jesus. In John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came and dwelt among humans, distasteful, sinful humans, because He loved us so much. by sending a son and by allowing a son to be sacrificed for us. The separation from God that we caused, humans, God establishes willingness to draw near to humans. We were distasteful. When we're in sin, we're distasteful. For while we were yet still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I made a comment when this class first started that a lot of my memory works in King James, so I was trying to, my brain's trying to go back to King James on that instead of New King James. God is not at a distance, as Bette Midler says in that song. He has not put the universe on automatic and taken a break. God is listening. He's waiting. He's waiting for our prayers. He's waiting for us to say, God, help me with my heart. Help me show my love for you. Help me to have more zeal. He's answering prayers and he's watching us. To quote what David Lanfear preached in a sermon several years ago, God is in the room. I remember him preaching about that. God is in the room. Once we get fired up with zeal, we'll have more gratitude. King David's life is an example of this gratitude. After God formed David in his mother's womb, to the Lord's miraculous help on the battlefield, David always tried. Yes, he sinned. He made mistakes. But David always tried. He came around to express praise and thanksgiving to God for being continually involved. And we see that in Psalms 139. The bottom line here is, Jesus drew the apostles so close to God, they were never the same again. He showed us all of God's grace. And after walking with Jesus, we'll never be the same either. Yes, sometimes we do slip up. Sometimes we lose zeal. We got to get fired back up. And we got to go out and do things. But we'll never be the same again. We want to be dedicated and go forward. Pray. Last class I talked about prayer. I'm a firm believer in prayer. I'm an absolute believer in prayer. I believe God listens to prayer and takes action. Here's that word again, action, a verb. God takes action because we pray, which is an action. He listens, which is an action. He wants to be with us. He is with us. That is an action. It's all about activity. Pray. God is listening. God is in the room. God's grace is continually described as abundant, more than I can fathom. In Acts 4:33, with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. Great grace. We sometimes think about the great power apostles had to do healing and such. We forget about this. Great grace was upon them. God was with them. These were not perfect people, but their lives were changed by Jesus, by obeying the gospel themselves and taking it forward. Great grace was upon them. It's so easy to overlook that in that verse. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned through one, the much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Abundance of grace. The apostles have great grace. Romans 5:17 talks about the abundance of grace. And 1 Timothy 1:14, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Faith and love. We get grace. We don't earn that. I want to tell you, there's no way I can earn it. But it's given to me for showing faith and love and obedience to God. Why is this significant? Why is grace so significant? Because we don't have a chance without it. God sent his son, dies on the cross. amazing grace. There was no way we could work ourselves into that situation to be saved. God gives us that blessing. A burning desire to please God can only be satisfied by carrying out God's will. How does Jesus bring you closer to the Father and closer to obeying the Father's will? Matthew 12:50. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. We have a relationship with God, and when we draw closer, that relationship grows more golden, more flavorful, more loving, more supporting. It's there. John 5:30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. It's all about doing what God says. That will of the Father. John 7:17, if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it's from God or whether I speak my own authority. Luke 9:23, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. This is an activity. It's active. It's a verb. It's love. It's taking activity going forward. This is what we're talking about when we're talking about getting closer through Christ and igniting ourselves in a sense of being active. Doing these things for the little ones. Doing these things for people at the door. God's not asking me to pick up Mount Everest and move it. He is asking me to show love to him through the people that walk through the door, through the people I meet on the street, through the people I do business with. And so I will tell you, sometimes I can be a little short-tempered sometimes when I'm doing business. And that's wrong. This is what we're talking about tonight. Zeal. All right, on Sunday, Lord willing, Brother Sean will have chapter 8. And that is fuel increasing in wisdom. Got to have wisdom to know what we're doing. All right? I want to thank you for joining me this evening. And pray that you have a good week. And don't forget to pray. Thank you and good night.